Welcome to Effing Etiquette.
It's a podcast about etiquette.
And we're so funny.
We think we're funny.
You do too.
Well, there's our new intro.
We nailed it. welcome to Effing Etiquette. I'm Kelly Hurd, and I'm here with my bestie,
Laura Slipsky.
And we're going to talk to you today about dining etiquette. So we're going to talk to you a lot about situations that apply in formal dining opportunities, but a lot of them apply to eating out with your friends at restaurants as well. So I think this is a thing that a lot of people are confused about. When do I sit down? What do I do with my napkin? Which of these 17 forks do I use? So let's talk about it. And I'd also say all of this information is available on the internet. So you can listen to us and do everything we tell you, but it's also probably good if you weren't raised in a household that stressed dining etiquette, go read a couple articles. Off the top of my head, there are 18 billion of them. So the information is there.
Yeah, and this is definitely a topic that is like the tops of etiquette things. And I think it's a good example of why etiquette is important. It really stresses that fact of, well, everyone knows what to do, then everyone feels comfortable. So when you know what fork you're meant to be using, you're not stressing out about it. Or you know when to start eating, and you're not embarrassed if you start too early. So in this is, you know, a group situation, when everyone in the group just has an understanding of what's expected, then you can relax and kind of focus on conversations and things like that.
Yeah, and most of the time you're okay going out there and being yourself. But in nicer restaurants, at formal dinners, you should try to tone yourself into someone who isn't going to make any of the other guests or the hosts uncomfortable.
Right. You're not going to stand out like a sore thumb.
Yeah. Or a bad nut.
Yeah. Are we talking about testicles or?
No, actually, I'm talking about that bowl right there. And sometimes you crack one open and you're like, oh, no. It's really disappointing. Okay. So I did some research on the history of dining etiquette because I was curious, where did this stuff start? And it goes back a ways because people have been eating food for a while.
Yeah.
The earliest excellent advice I found was in 1384. And the advice was, and this was in a book written by someone whose name I cannot pronounce, so I didn't even bother trying. If you need to spit during a meal, do it behind you, never on the table or on anyone else.
Good advice.
Yep. So let's start there. And then things have gotten a little more specific since then.
Yeah.
So modern table manners started to be developed during the Renaissance. It's a period of rebirth and art. It started in Italy. My people were really into cuisine. And they appreciated their food. And they also wanted to appreciate it using silverware instead of using their fingers.
Yeah, I can't even imagine eating spaghetti with my hands.
Yeah, so Catherine de' Medici, who was 14 years old.
Mm-hmm. So like middle age?
Yep, she was a spinster. Was married, lucky her, because she was, again.
So not a spinster.
Well, she was 14. I think you're a spinster after age 12 at that point.
Okay.
She was married to the future French king, Henry II. So Catherine moves from Florence to Paris. And is completely appalled at the barbaric French people and how gross they are eating with their hands. And she's like, y'all, use some forks, please. They will not do it. Her son, King Henry III, was accused of being a homosexual because he used fork when he ate.
All right.
Yeah. So that was what, like, Paris passed, that, you know, the French are all like, we're so refined. It's like, well, you weren't because you didn't even use forks. Wasn't until about the 18th century that forks were common. So we went from 1384, don't spit on people at the table, to the 18th century, which is the 1700s. So we got 400 years from stopping spitting on people to using forks.
Were they using knives? Wasn't there a time where, like, you would have a knife?
Yeah, but I think the knife was just to cut stuff.
And then you'd use your hands to convey it. Yes,
yep. And then you would wipe your hands on the tablecloth or on your clothes.
Okay, yeah. I would go with tablecloth, but whatever.
Sure. So then also during the Renaissance, they decided to start using napkins because they're like, we like this tablecloth. Stop wiping spaghetti sauce on it. So they would have napkins. And the napkins would be worn over the guest's left shoulder. And that was a signal to the hosts that they knew how to eat food.
Okay.
So now we are here in modern days. So after that amazing history lesson, what does it mean for us?
Yeah, we don't wear napkins on our shoulders anymore.
But they are on the left side of the table still.
Oh.
And that's how you signal that you're done with your meal. You put the napkin on the left side of your plate.
Oh, snap. I don't know where I put it.
Well, you shouldn't put it on your plate because that's rude.
Right.
Put it the left side. There was actually, when I was doing some research, huge controversy over whether or not napkins could ever be placed on your chair. Like, if you got up to leave, some people believe that you put the napkin in your chair, and other people are like, you don't ever put it on your chair. You put it on the left side of your plate. We will cut you.
Haven't you been to a restaurant where they will put it on your chair, like when you go to the bathroom?
No, they refold it and put it in the, what? No, I don't know.
Like on the back of your chair?
I'm going to pay attention now, but I wasn't before.
I might have just made that up.
So if you're invited to a dinner party, that is more than let's come over and play Mario Kart while drunk and eat pizza. You should RSVP. That is the polite thing to do. It lets the host or hostess know how many people to plan food for and how many people to set the table for. Don't RSVP like an hour before.
Yeah, it's a little too late.
Yeah. If you were cooking dinner for people, when would you want to know? Probably a few days in advance before the grocery shopping is done. So
Right. Be
polite, RSVP. And don't bring additional people or your children if they weren't specifically invited.
Yeah, show up on time.
Actually, you should show up. It says 10 minutes early, but I think that's just a communication thing. So if I were inviting people for dinner, and I'm like, dinner's at 7, I would probably tell them, arrive by 6:30.
Yeah, we'll eat at 7.
Yeah, because if we're eating at 7 and people are wandering in, I don't want to be saying hello to them. I want to be eating the food I cooked.
Yeah.
So yeah, set the communication of when are things happening. So here's a hard rule that I think is dumb. At a dinner party, you're supposed to wait until the host sits before you do.
That makes sense to me.
Really?
Yeah, that was what I was taught. We're hanging out behind our chairs waiting for that host to... It's usually the hostess.
Okay, so the way that I was raised in this, the Italian family, the women basically never get to sit down. We're always serving. We're always making sure that people have food and bringing things in.
But that is a shitty way to be.
I'm not disagreeing. I'm just saying we never sat down.
Yeah.
Have you seen A Christmas Story?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the scene with the mom who's like, every time she sits down to eat, one of the kids or the father needs something else. And
she never gets to sit down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I think that's the plight of a lot of women. What I'm saying, ladies, is sit down. Delegate. You've already worked probably on the meal by yourself. Sit down and let someone else take care of it.
You know how they have wedding planners? Well, you know. They should have like a formal dinner person.
Like dinner doula?
Yeah, you need like an intern to fill drinks at your dinner party.
Well, I think that children like 5 years and older are probably good in training for that. My brother's kids clear the table for
us. That's great, but can they handle a decanter?
William probably could.
Yeah, William could. Yeah. Okay. So you think they should wait to sit. All right, everyone. Laura says you wait until the host sits and then you get to sit down. I say you don't begin eating until everyone is seated and has their food.
Yeah, I would say at our household, we had family dinners pretty much every single night of the week. And for those, we would sit down, but we wouldn't start eating until everyone was seated.
Right.
But when it comes to like Thanksgiving dinner or Passover, we stand until everyone's in the room to sit down.
So I think, and it's different between plated meals and buffets are kind of a different situation.
Right, yeah. And that would be our casual weeknight dinner would be more of a buffet style mm-hmm. in that you go to the stove and you serve yourself.
Yeah.
So then you've got your food, so you're not just, like, standing above your food. Yeah. That's what makes it hard. I'll admit, like, when I was a kid, I would try to, like, take a little sneaky bite from something that was, like, not obvious, like the mashed potatoes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'd just be hungry.
Oh, man. It's so hard to sit over hot food, especially if you've been the person working on it, and then you have to wait for everybody else to come in with their food. And you're waiting, and you're waiting, and you're waiting. And then everybody finally sits down, and then someone wants to say a prayer. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Ugh! So...
I mean, that's okay with me as long as it's brief.
10 seconds. Like, let's just wrap this up. Okay, so, but if there is a blessing and that's not your thing, just sit there quietly. Don't start eating yet. Just wait.
Yeah, you could ask me this. As I don't think I've ever been at a meal where someone said a blessing that wasn't a Christian blessing.
And I don't ever, I hate it when people want to hold your hands because I washed those for dinner and now you're going to touch them. Stop it.
You and Rainer feel the same way. I don't know if he has the same reasoning behind it, but he did not want to hold hands. He was like, ugh.
Yeah. Cause like somebody could have been picking their nose and then, or not washed their hands after they went to the bathroom. And then they're going to hold my hand. And then what? I'm supposed to, like, pick some bread out of the... I got to...
Yeah. Well, our family is super clean. And I'm sure the only person who was at risk for hand touching was probably the kids.
Yeah. Well, my family doesn't hold hands. So if I'm holding hands, it's probably at some stranger's house. I'm like, oh, who are you? Don't touch me.
I know. I try to position myself between two people I kind of know.
Mm-hmm. Or just wear gloves. Let's bring back gloves.
Yeah.
Like
Theo. Perfect for taking off and slapping people with, mm-hmm. etc.
And then I can't feel your emotions. Or
don't get distracted by that.
During a blessing or a toast. Toasts are great, you know, especially if you're thanking the host or hostess. That's lovely. Stop clinking glasses. It's not, you just have to raise them.
It would be nice to, yeah, it seems like clinking is so mandatory these days.
And it gets awkward.
You can't reach everyone.
No, and it takes a while. Like, especially at, like, you're
reaching. Yeah, let's bring back the, like, where you just kind of, like, hold it a little bit higher.
Yeah, just raise a glass.
Yeah.
To freedom.
Yeah. What is that a reference to?
Hamilton.
Oh, okay. That's your phone now.
It is. It's my mom.
My mom called a few minutes ago.
Okay, so in conclusion, stop clinking glasses. Okay, back to the whole, like, you begin eating once everyone is seated and the blessing and or toasts are over. That's also in restaurants, but this can get awkward at restaurants because you're not necessarily in control of when the food's coming out. And then sometimes there's that, like, one straggler meal.
Ugh.
But if you're that one straggler person, this is what you do. You let everyone off the hook. You say, please, go ahead and eat while it's still hot. I know this is hurting inside and it's tough for you to do, but it's better for only my night to be ruined and not everyone's. So
yeah, let people off the hook as soon as you can.
Yep. And then just glare at your server until they realize you don't have food.
That's a shitty situation.
It's awkward. I love it. My food came out last night when we were at dinner, but it was only like a minute after everyone else's, so it was okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guilty of, and it's a bad habit that I started as a kid, you know, taking the taste of mashed potatoes. But also, my, like, low blood sugar thing, if that food, it's just hard for me to wait.
I think it's also good if you're at that situation and you're still waiting on someone's
pause food. For cat sneeze.
Yep. If you're waiting on someone's food to come out and you ordered something like a steak, go ahead, cut it open. Make sure that it's cooked properly because they have to come back to bring someone else's plate.
Yeah.
So quickly, check yours. And then you can send your food back, and then you're the one without any food.
And then you tell everyone they can eat.
Yep, and then you just pick better restaurants from then on, because things did not go well. I think a lot of people have anxiety about... Maybe they don't have anxiety. I'm projecting. Actually, I don't have any anxiety about this. I know exactly what's going on, motherfuckers. Silverware! What silverware do I use? This is easy. You start from the outside and you work your way in.
Mm-hmm.
So if the table is set correctly, your salad fork should be to the far left, mm-hmm. and then your dinner fork. Likewise, you know, your spoon is going to be on the outside if you have soup. Actually, your spoon may be at the top.
Kind of depends. Sometimes. Yeah. I think that's like a, that's how I learned in England.
Mm-hmm.
But then I have been corrected.
Well, you know, use your spoon for what you need it for. I think the forks can tend to get confusing.
Yeah. Salad forks are a little bit shorter.
My mother will only eat with salad forks.
Yeah. When I'm at my house.
She refuses to use large forks.
Okay. When I'm at my house, I don't care. I really have never felt like the fork impeded me from eating anything with it. You know, like, oh, this one's too short. It can't go through this piece of chicken. No, it's all been fine. Some of this stuff is kind of unnecessary.
Yeah, but, you know, you're not doing formal dining at your house by yourself. This is more like in a situation where you think that other people are looking at you, in-laws, family members.
Yeah, and
if you're at a work event, maybe you want to pretend like you actually know what you're doing.
Yeah, and if someone does happen to, like, use, quote, the wrong fork, don't be a snob about it.
No, I'm going to point it out. I'm gonna slap video
it out of their hand.
I'm going to do the Facebook Live of them eating. And like, look at this motherfucker eating with this salad fork.
How does it even work?
That's not a salad.
How are those peas even fitting on that
right?
fork?
Jeez. Okay. Silverware. Start on the outside. Work your way in. And then people have sometimes a question of which bread plate is mine and which glass of water is mine.
Yeah.
Here's a trick.
Okay, because I always forget.
If you make your index fingers and your thumbs touch,
mm-hmm.
and then if you're looking at it, it's backwards for you. Here, I'm going to turn around. So it makes a B on your left hand and a D on your right hand. Your bread plate is on the left and your drink is on the right.
Oh, nice.
So everyone got that?
Yeah, and I'll just be giving the table the okay sign.
Yep, you're like, this food is double okay.
I just wanted everyone to know I am okay.
Yeah, so that's how you know. In addition to giving everyone the okay sign, there are other subtle signals that you can do to let the wait staff know what's going on with your plate, which I would love it if all the wait staff listened to this and then knew what subtle signals I was giving them. So if you are finished with your food, you should be putting your silverware at a 45, so your fork and your knife,
right.
like a 45 degree angle towards the bottom right. It's called the 420 position.
Towards the bottom right. I usually do it the other way.
Nope, that's wrong. So it goes like that.
Oh yeah, that's what I do.
Oh, okay.
But you mean like, when I think of the knife is pointing up at like 11.
Nope. Oh, you mean pointing up there? But it's supposed to like hang off your plate like that. Or
yeah.
be on your plate.
Well, it depends which way you're looking at it pointing.
Okay. So anyway, put it there at like an angle.
Yeah, so that they can grab it, put their thumb over both of them,
mm-hmm.
put their hand under the plate.
Now, if you're not finished, don't put your fork and knife like that because someone might take your plate.
Yeah.
Also, if you're not finished and you have to get up and you go use the restroom, for starters, say, excuse me a moment. Don't make people think you just got pissed off at their conversation and left. Just excuse yourself from the table and put your fork and knife crossed on your plate in an X. So an X means don't take my plate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not done yet.
Mm-hmm.
And then together, bottom right, please.
Collect my plate.
Don't interrupt my conversation. Just take my plate. Another thing, when you're getting started eating, you should always taste your food before adding additional seasoning.
That's a good rule of thumb.
Yeah. A lot of people, and I've seen this happen, like, especially in, like, movies and stuff, just start, like, piling salt on their food. That is considered an insult to the person who cooked the food. So go ahead and, like, take a bite first and then discreetly season it. And then if you're passing the salt and pepper to other people at the table, you should pass them together.
Mm-hmm.
So if you ask me for the pepper, I'm going to hand you both. Wasn't because I wasn't listening to you. It's because then it gets confusing once they're separated.
Yeah. We want them to stay together.
Yeah, they're buddies. It's like two girls going to the bathroom. They just stick together.
Yeah, because once they're separated, it gets confusing.
Yeah, they can't find their chair again.
They're both named Kelly.
Yep. And if anybody asks where did Kelly go, bathroom.
Yeah.
Covers everyone.
Yeah.
If you start eating and you don't like the food, and I think, personally, I feel like this applies to dinner parties, not to restaurants. Don't tell them that you don't like it.
Yeah.
Just be quiet. Eat what you do like. And try at least two bites of everything. Because maybe one bite wasn't seasoned right, but then another bite will be. Mm-hmm. So, you know, make your way around the plate. Try things.
Because, you know, they tried their best.
Yeah. You can just eat later.
Yeah.
Don't be rude. Don't complain. That draws attention to yourself. And you're trying to just hang out and be part of a formal occasion. If you don't know how to eat something, you should wait and watch how someone else eats it, and then do what they did.
I feel like I've done this before.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
When you get a pasta dish that has clams or something, and the clams are in the shell still, I'm not real certain how to handle that.
I probably handled it poorly. So last night, I got peel and eat shrimp.
Okay.
So I was a mess. Like, there's just no way to get those off without using your hands.
No, I think you have to use your hands.
But yeah, clams... I think I do grab them because there's not a good way to get them out otherwise. And when I'm in fancy situations, I avoid ordering shellfish because I don't want to deal with the shells. Like sometimes oysters, well, we know how to eat oysters now, but there was a time that I didn't.
Yeah. Had to get lessons on that.
Artichokes can be confusing for people.
Sure. Usually they're ingredients in something, but yeah, if someone plunked a steamed artichoke in front of you.
Mm-hmm. What else is confusing? I think a lot of times it's, can I eat this with my hands or not?
Yeah. I'm sure that the internet has lots and lots of lists for that, but bread can be eaten with your hands?
It can be, and it should be. Okay, here's what I learned that I've been doing wrong my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
You are not supposed to butter your entire piece of bread.
And then shove it in your face.
You're supposed to break off a piece and butter just that piece.
Yeah.
And eat that.
Yeah. So when the butter gets passed around, you're supposed to put the butter on your bread plate and then break off pieces and butter it and eat it as you go. And I know that's something that my parents taught me, but what a fucking pain in the ass way to eat bread.
It is. But I think I'm on board with putting it on your plate and then passing it. For the butter, bread, dips in general, not doing your utensil directly to the bread. Because there are people who have celiac and other kinds of intolerances. And
oh, well, you're not supposed to use your personal things from serving dishes. Your personal utensils.
No, you shouldn't use your personal utensil in a serving dish, and you shouldn't use anything that is a serving utensil on your food.
Yeah. And in formal and fancier situations, and, you know, in most situations, I'm probably not taking the entire piece of bread and picking it up. But I might butter the whole thing first and then tear it apart.
Yeah.
Especially if the bread is warm and I want that butter to melt.
Yeah. I always butter the whole piece of bread.
You know who has good bread? Winston's.
Oh, they really do. I buttered that whole bun yesterday and ate it. It was delicious.
Just thinking about bread.
I have bread over there. We can eat some bread after this. You're not supposed to put your elbows on the table when you're holding cutlery.
Yeah.
But if you're not and you're not eating, you can put your elbows on the table. That's okay. You don't have to sit there awkwardly. Like, if you're talking to people, you can throw your elbows up there. But if you're eating, there's like a plate of food in front of you and you have a fork in your hand.
Yeah.
No.
After the plates have been cleared.
Yep. Or before, when you're waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Also, don't gesture with silverware.
Uh-huh.
That's used for eating, not for telling a story.
Mm-hmm.
And don't put on your makeup at the table.
What about mascara?
Well, I know that you want to, like, wave a knife around while putting mascara on, but I need you to calm down on
sometimes
both of those things.
I get mixed up and I start stabbing myself in the eye and buttering my bread with mascara.
Somebody probably did that, and that's why there's this rule. They're like, all right, they can't handle it, so from now on.
What about, like, old-timey makeup where it was, like, just powder? And there's, like...
Ooh, and then you're like, oh, somebody put powdered sugar on this bread. It's like, nope, it's my foundation.
Yeah. Oh, there's flour on this. No, it's actually made out of lead and copper.
Oh, man. My great grandmother used to have like the giant poofs with like baby powder. Oh, we should bring back the poofs. Wouldn't that be lovely? We can all smell like baby powder all the time.
They still sell them. People just don't buy them.
I get questions sometimes about wine glasses. Like when I'm like, yeah, I'll have some. I'd like this kind of wine. And then the person going to get it for me, which is usually like someone in the family, it's like, wait, which wine glass do I use? So in general, the white wine glasses tend to be thinner than the red wine glasses. The red wine glasses are more of like the bowl-shaped glasses. It allows you to really like get up in there with your nose and
elicit get those air, aromas. Right?
Yeah.
So you have more surface.
And then the white wine glass has less surface because it's a chilled wine. So it keeps it cooler for longer, having less surface area. So when you're drinking, you should be holding the white wine glass by the stem. Again, it will keep it... If you're holding it by the glass, you're going to warm it up with your body heat.
Yeah.
So hold your white wine glass by the stem. And the red wine glass you can hold by the bowl. Now you can like swirl it nicely. And again, just really get up in there.
Yeah.
So after you've had this lovely meal and you've eaten tiny little bits of bread one at a time and not waved knives around, when you're finished, you should put your napkin to the left of your plate. Don't throw it on the plate. Don't throw it on the floor. Don't throw it on your neighbor. And then hosts will usually serve coffee at the end of the meal. And that is your signal that things are over.
Mm-hmm.
You may feel free to leave at any time. If the host is like, no, stick around, stay. You can do that. But usually if they're serving coffee, it's like, and scene.
We're waking you up so you can drive on home.
Yep. And after the dinner party, you should thank your hosts.
You could send a thank you note.
Yeah. And then they can thank you for the thank you note.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some other fairly obvious notes. You should always turn off your cell phones. You shouldn't be answering a call or talking on your phone or looking at the internet while at a dinner with other people.
Yeah. I don't know if people are aware of this. It makes it look like you are not paying attention. It makes it look like the other people are boring you.
Yeah, and sometimes I know, like, because I've called people out on it before, and you'd be like, well, you mentioned this and I wanted to look it up. I'm like, but now you're not listening to the rest of the conversation.
Yeah, I think there are times when you can say, hold on, I'm going to look that up. Now we're all a part of that. Or if there's something going on, like you have to check in with the babysitter, maybe excuse yourself. Make a phone call or whatever you do with babysitters.
Yeah.
Text. Or just let the people, you know, I would say let a host know. We're going to have to keep an eye on our phones because I'm on call. Whatever it is.
Do not check your phone at the table. Do not pull your phone out at the table. Like Laura said, if you need to check in with somebody, excuse yourself, go away. If you're the kind of person who needs to get messages and check them frequently, get a goddamn Apple Watch or whatever you need so you can just discreetly check it.
Yeah. Well, my advice is set boundaries for yourself so that you can have a nice dinner without being on call.
Especially when you're in a... I think this only applies to a restaurant, but maybe you have some really fancy friends. Thank the server and the busboy every time you receive an item or get more water or when they clear your table. Be polite. Show good etiquette and... set a good example for everyone around you to go out there and be polite.
Yeah. Thank your intern.
Yeah.
He's filling up your water.
The little 5-year-old balancing that huge thing of wine.
Mm-hmm.
What's that name? Decanter.
Decanter. I'm like, William, and he's not 5.
Yeah. Pippa with the decanter.
Oh, like... God. No, don't give her the decanter.
Okay. One of them is just going to put a straw in it and go have a good time, right?
That would be Charlie.
Yep. Okay. So, yeah. Formal dinners, they're not as much fun as dinners where you don't have to follow rules, but they can be really nice experiences.
Yeah.
So, go ahead and set yourself up with some guidelines for success, and then you and everyone else there will have a lovely experience.
Absolutely.
I said lovely experience twice, didn't I?
I don't know.
Have a joyful experience. Have a... I'm out of words.
A nice time.
Yeah.
If you have any other adjectives you'd like to inform us of to describe a dinner party, you can email them to us at effingetiquette@gmail.com.
Yeah, and please follow us on Facebook and Instagram. And we're Effing Etiquette on Facebook and Instagram. And we are F Etiquette on Twitter, EFF Etiquette. And we want to hear from you guys. What are some experiences you've had, some problems you've encountered, so we can let everyone else learn from your terrible example?
Exactly. And in the meantime, go out there and be considerate.
Considerate.
Bye.
Bye.